Well, we have come to the feast of the holy name of Jesus. And just as, for example, Christmas, the Feast of the Nativity, stops our liturgical clock for a moment and allows us 8 days, which we've already completed, but allows us 8 days to reflect on the mystery of what we have celebrated. Because it's such a great mystery, we need just a little longer to reflect on it. So too, the feast of the, what used to be called the Feast of the Circumcision, on the first day, or on the first day of the year, the first day of January, the octave day of Christmas, the day that celebrates the moment when the Lord shed his blood for the first time in his saving mission, but it's also the moment when he was given his formal name, formally given it. And so what Holy Church has done is teased out another feast that is strictly connected with the Feast of the Circumcision. It's teased it out so that we can reflect now also on his holy name. Some of these great mysteries pile up early in the liturgical year. For example, on Epiphany, which is a manifestation of the divinity of the Lord. That's what that's all about. Three great mysteries were celebrated all at the same time in the history of the church's veneration of our Lord. There was, of course, the coming of the Magi to kneel down, the nations to come to the Lord to kneel down, so that the nations are already recognizing the divinity of the one who came into the world. And that same feast day, they also celebrated the baptism of the Lord and also the mystery of his revelation as God at the wedding of Cana when he changes water into wine. All three of those things were historically celebrated on that same day. But then, of course, the baptism of the Lord being such an important mystery, what did she do in her wisdom? She teased that out into a separate feast, into a separate day, so we could reflect also on that mystery. And so this is what she does for us. She's a very wise mother, our church. She knows that sometimes we have to circle back and take a look at something because it is of such importance. Well, certainly the name of the Lord is very important. We hear from Paul in the very first chant of this, you know, Mass, that God has so rightly extolled and exalted the Lord and bestowed on him a name, and it's a name which is above every other name, so that at the very name of Jesus, then Paul goes on to say, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, this gives us a certain emphasis on the importance of his name. Well, what does the Lord himself say about his name? Well, in John 16, our Lord reveals his unity with the Father and the power of his own name when he says, truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. The very name of the Lord has power to bring favor from the Father. In Mark, in chapter 9, there's an exchange between the Lord and the beloved disciple, John. John says to him, Teacher, we saw a man casting out demons in your name, not even one of their company, but there's a guy going around invoking the name of the Lord and casting out demons. And we forbade him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, do not forbid him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon after to speak evil of me. So an interesting point of human psychology in there, that a reverential invocation of the name of another person. And remember, in the ancient world, there was a strong belief about the connection of the person's being and his name. The reason why he's in the world, his mission, and his name. So very often, this is why God changes the names of certain important people during salvation history. It gives them a new mission. And of course, the Lord's mission was indicated both to Mary and to Joseph before our Lord's birth, when the angel comes and talks about how this child is going to be named. So there's a bit of an interesting psychology in here. And the Lord says, if someone is doing mighty works in my name, he will not soon after be able to speak evil of me. Well, it indicates a real conversion of heart, a change of heart, doesn't it? This is good for us in our own spiritual lives. When we have a real problem with someone, we find someone terribly annoying, or someone who has done us wrong, and we are perhaps even properly angry with them, and maybe even improperly angry with them, angry too much or angry in the wrong way and for the wrong reasons. Not because there have been a violation of charity, but because there's been a violation of, you know, my own pride or something like that. And so we fall into a kind of an anger or vengeful attitude about a person, wishing them ill or not being able to get over a grudge or something like that. Well, seeing someone who is doing loathsome things and then taking it so to heart that you find it extremely difficult even to bear the thought of a person. Well, if we begin to pray for that person by name, in a decided, disciplined, and generous way, it begins to be very difficult to lack charity toward them. The prayer for them and the invocation, you know, just mentioning their name in prayer and really offering these people to the Lord and asking for graces for them and so forth, being an invisible and quiet intercessor for them from afar, can do a great deal to take away ill feelings and ill thoughts about another person. Getting back to the name of the Lord himself, the Gospel of John says, "These signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." There are so many other examples that can be multiplied about the holy name of our Lord. Now, this name was formally conferred on Christ. Christ really isn't a name, is it? You know, some people think that Christ is his like last name or something. Well, no, it's actually a title. It has to do with the fact that he was anointed. He came into the world to be Messiah, but so much more than just Messiah. He's also Son of God. But Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, Jesus the Messiah, has that beautiful first name, which means the Lord saves. Jesus, related to the name Joshua, Yeshua, means the Lord saves. And it describes the Lord's mission, the reason why he came into the world. Now, let's try to put this in perspective. I think that in these days of COVID madness, actually I call it the Wuhan devil, because I firmly believe that the virus somewhere along the line was cursed by Satanists, and that it has also a demonic component to it, which explains why it's so very slippery and also many of the different secondary ramifications that it's had in our streets and so forth. I think that this thing is cursed. And to that end, at the very end of Holy Mass today, I will recite with the faculty of the bishop, I will recite chapter 3, title 11 from the Roman ritual, which is the exorcism against Satan and the fallen angels. You know, when the Lord goes around and he heals, very often demons come out. There's a connection between healing and exorcism. And the Lord demonstrates this amply and in many occasions in the, all through the Gospels. But so if we contextualize the mission of the Lord, both in his own day and in our own day too, especially because we can, in our modern world, be somewhat blinded, obfuscated, fogged up and forgetful about what is really important. Material comfort and relative peace and things like that can lull us into thinking that this world is the goal, and that all the things that which Holy Church tends to should be trying to produce a secular or material utopia. That's not the mission of the church. It was not the mission of the Lord, though he certainly can also do these things, necessarily to save us from poverty. It wasn't the mission of the Lord to come and save us from natural disasters. It wasn't the mission of the Lord primarily to save us from sickness or illness or any other malady. It was to save us from sin that he came into the world. And again, material comfort and relative peace and calm and prosperity, these things can lull us into forgetting that, like in the word of the poet, I think it was Longfellow, life is real and life is earnest, but the grave is not the goal. There's something beyond the grave. This is what, the reason why we came into the world was not to live here forever. The reason why we were brought into the world was eventually to come to heaven and see our Lord, to see God face to face. You go back and take a look at that magnificent collect that we have today. That collect that struck me when I was up there singing it. It talks about how we offer our prayer. Why? So that eventually we can see the Lord in the face. Aspectus. We want to see him. We want to see our Lord. And it is for this that he came into the world with his saving mission, which is indicated in his saving name. The Lord himself talks about the might of his own name. How much reverence we should have for the holy name of Jesus. It's good for us to meditate on the name and to say it reverently, to say it well, and even just sometimes to stop with one of those quick little prayers during the day, maybe in some sort of banal activity, whatever it might be. You might, even in a moment of temptation or difficulty, just stop. Just stop and say, Jesus, save me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.